It's time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition.
And blast off. Hey, the Vintage Truth Podcast blasting off for another week for you. And I am so excited to be with you today because I have some great news to share with you from God's Word that I think is going to really build you up, equip you, encourage you, motivate you, and set you on the path in your mind and in your spirit where you need to be, where we all need to be as believers in Jesus Christ. You know, there are some great things that are brewing right now in my ministry that I'm going to be sharing with you. If you'd like to kind of get in on the secret scoop on what's happening behind the scenes, some things that are going on in my ministry, then I want you to be a part of my tribe, my friends that are a part of my life, really. And basically how you do that is you go to jeffkinley.com, you click on that little subscribe to my newsletter tab that's on the right-hand side of my front page there. And, you know, that doesn't mean I'm not going to spam you with a bunch of emails. I mean, I probably send out 2 a month, so it's not like a great deal of things. And it's always something that's helpful for you, that is encouraging to you, gives you some links to some great resources. Typically, I put a video in there as well that's no longer than a couple minutes long, just to give you a, you know, kind of a sight and sound. Maybe you've never seen the face that's behind this voice here. You know, I've been told I've got a great face for radio, and so maybe that's one of the reasons why I do it like this. But eventually we'll do more and more YouTube and video type productions. But for now, we're doing the podcast. But all that to say is if you want to be a part of my newsletter, just go there and click on that, and you can unsubscribe at any time. But it just gives you kind of the some insight scoops on things that are happening. And there are some really cool things that are coming up that I'm going to be telling you about very, very soon. Just putting the final touches on some things. But God is moving. He is moving across the world. And I and you, we get to be a part of it as we make ourselves available to the Lord. So anyway, some really cool things happening. Hey, I want to talk about today and probably the next podcast as well, something that I'm just calling the butterfly effect. The butterfly effect. Say, hey, Jeff, what are you talking about? We're going to get off and, you know, talking about insects and birds and, you know, butterflies. No, that's not what we're talking about. I want to talk about how God changed us at the moment of salvation. You know, the Bible tells us that when we came to Christ, it was not something that we just simply willed ourselves into. It's not something that we caused ourselves to happen, even though we in time made a volitional choice that we were free to make as God empowered us to make for our salvation. Listen to what John 1 and verses 12 through 13 say. This is amazing. John says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, that's a Greek word, exousia, means the authority, to become the children of God, even of those who believe in his name. And that doesn't really translate well in the English. It's just restating the same thing, that we became children of God. Who? Well, the people who believed in his name. And listen to what it says, how it describes us. It says, who? These people, that's you and me, were born not of blood. We didn't inherit it through our parents' DNA, nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, it wasn't some good work or deed that we did, some religious activity that qualified us for salvation, nor of the will of man. In other words, we didn't simply grunt ourselves into salvation or just say, well, I think I'll choose to be saved. And that choice is what saves us. No. None of those things were true, John says. Well, then how were we saved? Well, verse 13 tells us the last 3 words. But of God. We were born of God. In other words, it's a genitive of origin there, of source. It's saying the source of our being born again is God. Now, that's a whole nother study right there. But suffice it to say that in time, we came to know God. We came to know Jesus. So the question really is, what actually changed? Because a lot of people have the experience of becoming a Christian where it was a very low-key event, okay? like it may have been, you know, sitting on your parents' knee when you were small, or vacation Bible school if you went to that kind of thing, or being in a church service and you just decided, hey, I think now's the time for me to be a Christian or whatever. Or maybe it was at a youth camp, or maybe as an adult it was through hearing a broadcast of a preacher on the radio or on the television, or maybe you went to a crusade, or maybe there was a revival service, or maybe you came to the end of yourself in your own life and you just said, you know what, there's nowhere to look but up. And maybe God did, maybe he broke you, maybe life broke you and it caused you to think about yourself and think about your life. Or maybe you've come to Christ recently, maybe in your later years. And like I've known many people to do that are very close to me, and they suddenly realize, you know, eternity is knocking at the door and I need to be ready for it. And so maybe that's, I don't know how you became a Christian, but however it was, whether it was something that was very quiet and emotionless to something that was very dramatic and there was sort of a night and day experience with you, which is what I experienced in my life, it doesn't matter. The fact is you became a Christian. So the question is, what changed? What actually changed? Because if you became a Christian at an early age, you probably didn't see like this immediate radical change. You didn't go from, well, I was 5 years old and I was robbing liquor stores, you know, and going in and cheating on my girlfriend at school. I mean, you probably didn't experience that whole life change kind of thing, but you gradually began to see things happen in your life. And some people even have this sort of delayed effect, you know, where they come to Christ at an earlier age. They truly do. They truly believe in Jesus. They truly cast themselves on Christ for salvation, but there's no follow-up, which is one of the great tragedies of Christianity, is that people sometimes don't get the kind of follow-up and nurturing that they need as newborn babies. Hello. And so we don't give them that. So, you know, maybe there was a delayed effect there, and then you got off to youth camp or got off to college or got involved in Bible study, whatever, and things really started kicking in for you. All right. Regardless, we're going to go back to the moment you were saved. And we're going to talk about what changed at the moment of your salvation. And there are many, many things that we could talk about, but I'm going to narrow this down to just about four or five things that I think are really, really significant about what actually transformed within you at the moment of salvation. Of course, the Bible says we went from darkness to light, says we went from death to life. And we were from a child of Satan to a child of God, a child of the flesh to a child of the spirit. I mean, many, many things that happened there. But let me just kind of encapsulate it this way. Have you ever played the game where you are pretending, or you have a celebrity identity and someone's asking you 20 questions? They're saying, you know, are you alive? Are you dead? Are you male or female? Are you this or that? And you kind of narrow it down. You say, ah, you're Abraham Lincoln. Oh, hey, you're Mel Gibson, or you're Claudette Colbert or whatever it is. And you guess their identity. Well, that's kind of what we're going to do here. We're going to narrow it down to who the Bible says we are. And that's really the most important thing, is understanding, believing, and then acting as if we are the people that God says that we now are, according to the changes that happened within us. Now, let's begin with this. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul writes, he says, and in him, that's in Christ, you have been made complete. You have been made complete. And that word complete just simply means you're lacking in nothing. You got everything you need. You're fully equipped. You're fully remade. You're fully reborn. You know, you've got all the parts that you need that came with salvation. But what is it that actually makes us different as Christians? You say, well, Jeff, we live different kinds of lives. We're moral people. Oh, really? Well, so are the Mormons. Hey, so are some Muslims, so are some Buddhists, you know. They live very moral, upright lives. In fact, sometimes more moral than Christians do. So it's really not morality per se that makes us that different, even though we are different morally from the world and the culture in which we live. But he said, well, it's the habits that I have now that I didn't have, or that I, you know, cast off from what I didn't have or what I had before. Like, well, I don't cuss as much today. Or I don't drink as much, or I don't do whatever as much. You know, those are all external things. Let's talk about what the Bible says are the internal changes. So let's begin at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Now, this is a verse that I'm sure you're familiar with. It may be like your life verse or whatever, but listen to what Paul says here. He's talking about how, you know, he used to know or understand who Jesus was from a certain perspective when he was a part of the Jewish, you know, military police, basically. And he was rounding up Christians and he was sending them to jail. He was causing them to be killed. And yet he came to know Christ a different way through his encounter with Jesus. So verse 17 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians says this. It says, therefore, if any man or woman is in Christ, that's the operative phrase here. It says he is a new creature. Now, it doesn't say you will become a new creature. Doesn't say that one day that if you grow mature enough at the end of this journey of the Christian life that you'll be a new creature. No, you are a new creature. There's no such thing as a Christian that has not been transformed into a new creation. Into a new creation, okay? And this word new is the word, the Greek word kainos, and the word creature is talking about a metamorphosis. In fact, it's where the word comes from. The word metamorphosis comes from this particular Greek word. And it says that we are new creations, new of a different kind, a brand new kind. It's not like saying we've shined our shoes or we've, you know, polished the silver or, you know, we've cleaned the car and washed the car and so it looks new, look bright, brand new. It's not what it's talking about. It is new. It's new. So you're not the same person that you used to be. It says that it says the old things passed away and behold, new things have come. Now that verse there has been used to guilt many a Christian into doubting their salvation. You know why? Because there are things that are left over from our old life that don't sometimes automatically just drop off. You know why? Because we still have what the Bible calls a sin nature. I call it the zombie within. And it's that part of us that pursues us all the time and that it wants to devour us and hinder us and kill us and destroy our spiritual lives. But then it's another topic to talk about, how do we deal with that sin nature? But it's not talking about just the fact that you sometimes do things that you used to do as a Christian or as a non-Christian, because we all are tempted and we all fail in many, many ways, the Bible says. And even Paul in Romans 7 struggled with his old flesh and with old patterns of habits and things like that. So it's not saying that if you become a Christian, you will never do the things you used to do ever again. You might not, but part of growth, part of maturity, and part of obedience and part of making daily choices is a part of that external thing, those external things that we do now that we didn't do before and things we don't do now that we used to do before. Okay. But that's not what this verse is saying. It's not saying that you will never sin again in any of the ways that you used to sin. The old things that it's talking about are the old things that were a part of who we were, of our DNA, our spiritual DNA. It's saying that we used to have this old flesh that completely controlled us. And guess what? Guess what else motivated you? If you were a religious person or someone who thought they were a Christian before, guess what motivated you? The rules, quote unquote, pleasing God, doing it right. Now see, though, the rules are not what drives us. Our new nature drives us. So the first thing we get, the first thing that changes is our very nature, our very nature. All right, now part of this, we find out about it in 1 John, okay? So the Bible interprets the Bible, okay? So over in 1 John, we see in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 9, John says this, and this is another verse that's been used to just guilt the life out of people before. He says in 1 John 3, 9, it says, no one who is born of God. Oh, we just said that's us. Oh, we've been born of God, right? Not of the will of the flesh and that kind of thing. No one who is born of God sins, or my version says practices sin. Now, why? Because God's seed abides in him and he cannot sin or practice sin because he is born of God. Now you say, Jeff, what in the world does that mean? Well, we know what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we don't ever sin. How do we know that? Well, we see in Paul in chapter 7 of Romans, he talks about that. In this very same epistle, listen to what John says here in 1 John 2 and in verse 8 here. It says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look, we still have sin. Now the principle of sin doesn't rule in our life. That's the point he's making. But if we say that we don't have any sin, well, look, two verses later it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar because he just told us that we have sin. Because he just told us in the very verse before that, if we confess our sins, well, you can't confess sins you don't ever commit. So obviously we're committing sins. It says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So when we get over to chapter 3 and John says, no one is born of God practices sin. And here's the reason why. What he's saying there is nobody that is a Christian is someone who is ruled by sin. Sin is not our master anymore. It's not just talking about the practice of our Christian life, though obviously there's an inference to that big time, but he's talking about the nature. We are not consumed by sin and by sin's power and by sin's rule of our life anymore. Why not? It says right here, because God's seed abides or lives or remains or resides or rests in us. That word seed is the Greek word sperma. We get our word sperm from. It's just saying the very DNA, the very seed of God is within us. God has put his new nature in us. And so we have a new nature. And that's a very, very important point for us to understand because sometimes we think that the whole point of the Christian life is trying to buggy whip our old nature into conformity to the new standards that we have in our lives. And my friend, that is never going to work for us because our old nature is not just bent. It's not just crooked. It's not just broken. It's unredeemable. The old flesh is unredeemable. And that's why if it were redeemable, then, you know, God would just redeem the old flesh and not give us the new flesh. But look at what it says over in Ephesians chapter 4 about this old nature here. It's very, very interesting here. He says this is Ephesians 4 in verse 22. It says that in reference to your former manner of life that you lay aside or consider your old self to be laid aside. Now, what do we know about this old self, this sin nature, this zombie? It says, which is currently present tense, continual tense there, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. So what he's saying there is that old nature, not only can you not make it any better, but guess what else is happening? It's just like getting more and more rotten. It's like just, you know, get a pound of hamburger meat and put it on the counter, just leave it there for about 6 days, see what happens. It just gets brown and nasty and stinky. And the Bible says that's sort of the way our old nature is. It just continues decaying and corrupting itself. That explains, my friend, why Christians like you and me are still capable of committing sins, sometimes sins that are unthinkable, because we still have that old nature, and we now, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, we now actually have a choice as to who we obey, the old or the new nature, because Romans tells us that in Romans 8 and verses 6 and 7, read this real quickly. It says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Because, here's the explanation, the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. Watch this. For it is not even able to do so. So the old flesh, that old nature in me, couldn't any more make myself better or make myself saved or make myself obey God. than a dead corpse can do. It can go to a dance and dance. You know what I'm saying? So God is just simply saying the old flesh can't do it. The new nature can. You know why? Because we're new. We've been made new. We have a brand new nature. It's a nature that comes from God. And that's why we thank God for our salvation. That's the first thing that happens, that God gives us a brand new nature. Okay, I'm going to kick it off with a second thing on the next Vintage Truth Podcast. I hope you can join me. God bless. Have a fantastic week.
Loved what you've heard on this week's episode? Well, the answer is simple. It would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. Thank you.